Yesterday we were blessed to begin another catechism class, and that's always a good thing in our small fledgling parish, although we're missing a lot today with sickness and travel. But one of the things that the four folks, David and Jamie Pugh and Lisa Milholland, and some of you, if you weren't here last week, didn't get a chance to meet Justin Walsh, who's been in a choir at another parish. But as the four of them gathered with me yesterday, and as we began to talk about some of the aspects of the church, we touched on the pillar aspects of the church, in which we make the confession that the church of Christ is one, it's holy, it's apostolic, and Catholic. But today I want us to focus on the fact that we are holy, that we are a holy church by virtue of the fact that we are in Christ, who is all holy. So what is it, as we consider this, the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the wheat and tares, or the wheat and the weeds, if you want to use another term, how do we reconcile the fact that there are tares among us? That is, that there are those whose faith may not be genuine, who may not be true. And go one further in the fact that we are all in a hospital for the soul. We all have come by the grace of God to receive healing for a sick and broken soul. Well, I want to first remind you what St. Peter tells us in his first epistle in chapter 4. In chapter 2. Of verse 9 of 1 Peter, he writes, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." Listen to that. A holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You see, through the grace of God, that is, through his uncreated energies and presence, we have responded. In our own brokenness, in our own sinfulness, in the bondage of our own passions, we have come to the mercy of God and received it. You see, we are a holy nation, a special people, because we have responded to God's invitation to come into the healing grace of the sacraments, the mysteries of the church, a faith which brings about a genuine faith by humility, which enables each of us to obtain forgiveness and mercy. This is what binds us together in unity as a church. Yes, it is in Christ and through Christ, but that oneness in terms of one another is in terms of the common mercy that we have received. And yet there is the reality, we know, that we can come to church and that we can all be members of the church in a formal sense of that word, and yet we can sin against one another. We can sin against God and our neighbor. And we can continue to behave in many ways like the pagans. And I dare say in some cases worse than the pagans. For at times we have a way of shooting the wounded and hurting our own. And so this is not unique. It's not unique to St. John the Baptist Parish. It's not unique to our generation or the American culture. It is a universal issue. And Jesus tries to make us aware of this reality through the parable. The fact that the sower came That is, Christ himself came and he sowed the seeds of the kingdom of righteousness. And in the parable before, the four soils, we know that those seeds responded in different ways. Some fell on rocky ground and were snatched away by the enemy before they even took root. Others were in rocky soil where the roots didn't go very deep and they soon withered and died. Some were choked out by thorns, that is, the cares of this world. And it's easy for us to have our faith choked out with all that the pressures and everything that we're facing, all the challenges. But then there were the seeds that fell in the good soil. And Jesus, in this parable, the wheat and tares, is really a follow-up to that parable in which he says that the enemy, that is the devil, comes and he plants the counterfeit, the seeds of the tares. And the tares, which look very much like wheat as it's growing, it'll even come into a head very much like wheat. And it's only until it's fully mature that you realize it's not really wheat. It's a useless weed that in many ways is a nuisance to deal with. And Jesus is able to interpret this parable and saying, no, don't pull up the tares. Now, I wish my grandparents in Roanoke, Virginia, when I was a kid, would say the same thing when we'd go down, and they'd send us down in the garden to start pulling up weeds. Weeds grow no matter what. Weeds will grow anywhere. But the sower said, let them grow up together. And then bind the tares in the bundles to be cast into the fire. Jesus is clear that good and evil will subsist together, not only in the world, but in the church. Because after all, the church is both divine and human. And as human beings, we are broken, sinful human beings that have been brought together in the oneness of faith and the oneness in Christ. And there are times where we can, even as devout believers, depart from the faith. There are times when we, as ambassadors of the name of Christ, can drag his name through the mud and filth. And this, as I said, is not something that was limited to this generation or to our culture, but was happening even in the first century of the church. Specifically, what came to mind is St. Paul's first epistle to the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians, he is dealing with a number of issues that has erupted. Now remember, this is within the same generation of people who were alive during the time of Christ's passion and resurrection. And yet, the church in Corinth had already begun to have some serious issues. The first which he addresses is that of contention and divisions and bickering within the church. And I think that we can all look back to situations and circumstances in which there could be, and we've experienced our own contentions and maybe disagreements. But it's not just about agreeing on every issue, but it's about having a oneness of spirit in Christ, even as we may disagree. But one of the other things that St. Paul was dealing with as the overseer of this church in Corinth was serious sexual sin. In fact, word had gotten back to him that there was a man who was sleeping with his father's wife, who was not his mother, a stepmother. Something that was unspeakable even among the Gentiles. And so in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, St. Paul says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as it is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For indeed, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorifying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. God is growing up his garden, if you will, of finest wheat, you and I. We have called to be that unleavened bread, to be joined to the bread from heaven, the bread of life, Christ Jesus in the church. And yet here in the very first century of the church, there were those who were committing unspeakable acts and yet not being addressed by the church. You see, St. Paul's very clear that judgment, we are not to judge those outside of the church, outside of the community of faith. That is the judgment of God. But we are. We are to hold each other accountable. We are to judge the actions, not the hearts and motivations, but the actions of those within our body. To be sure that we have not become a part of the tares, that we ourselves have not become hypocritical and a counterfeit in our own faith. There are times, sometimes, when a spiritual father might have to give us the medicine of abstaining from the sacraments of the church, not as a punishment, but as a means for our own healing. When our hearts are not right, we cannot abide the powerful medicine, especially of the Holy Eucharist. You see, there are times when even your priest will fail you, when even my own sins may impact you. But we are bound together in the bond of love and mutual accountability, that we may not abide a path of sickness, a path of hypocrisy, a path of tearing others down and judging them with a self-righteous judgment, but rather with a heart of love. I wanted to read the epistle lesson again from Colossians. St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, this is the third chapter, beginning with verse 12. He says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, remember, we are holy, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. You know, we don't have to like each other necessarily. We can get on one another's nerves. But what St. Paul is clearly saying is that we need to have humility and meekness. And that as we have been offended, we need to be willing to forgive. But listen what he says in verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let me say it again. He said, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. That is, being Eucharistic, living Eucharistically. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's about putting on Christ. It's about putting on love, his love, the divine love of God, which enables us to forgive the unforgivable, which brings hope in times where it seems there is no hope. You see, as we fail to submit to one another, to our bishops, to our spiritual father, to each other, as we fail to be accountable to one another, then we are walking in a very dangerous place. Perhaps many of you saw on Thursday morning as you got up and turned the news on, if you watch Baltimore or Washington news, that the Howard County police were in the midst of frantically searching for a young 2-year-old nonverbal autistic boy who had walked out of his house at about 10 o'clock at night in Columbia, barefooted and with just a light shirt on, a cold, rainy night, if you remember. And I thought how horrible that was. And I'd gotten up early because Woodrow and I were leaving at 6 o'clock to head in to the office. So while on the way to the office, knowing that our son Eric, who's a Howard County police officer, was working that night, I gave him a call knowing he was still on duty. And he told me, he said, yeah, he was involved with the operation and searching for this boy, but he said it didn't sound very good. He said that as the canine started to track the boy, they found bare footprints not far from the house near a sediment pond. And the dog tracked the boy in his tracks up to the pond and tried to take the dog around the pond, and he kept returning to the edge of the pond where the last footprints were. And I just thought how horrible, thinking that the next news was going to be recovering the body of a drowned boy. And about an hour later, Eric contacted me to let me know that a postal worker who was driving down Interstate 95 spotted this boy walking along the interstate highway alive. They took him to the hospital for precautions, but he was otherwise fine and returned to his parents. Praise God. A rescue that went right. But my point in telling you that is, in many ways, when we just go out on our own, whether we're still attending actively in the church or not, that is, when we emotionally go out on our own, do our own thing, be the judge of our own lives, outside of the authority and judgment of the church, then we, like that young boy, have exposed ourselves to all kinds of peril. And there will be times that we may be that boy, that we may be one of the tares that have sprouted up in the church. But we need to be the community of faith, putting on the bond of love and helping to rescue and to deliver those who need that help. Praise God that in so doing, we are the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We put on the bond of Christ, the bond of love, which is the bond of perfection and holiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.